from Thomas Edison State University. This is Edison Soundstage.
Hello and welcome to the Thomas Edison State University Edison Soundstage. We, Dr. Malcolm Alver and myself, Anne Prime Monahan, the Associate Dean in the School of Public Service, welcome you to the Public Service Leadership Studio. Today, we're going to talk about graduate PLA in our school. Joining us today on our panel is Dr. Christine Willard. Dr. Willard is a long-term mentor for the university and has been an integral part of launching the PLA process at the undergraduate level. She both developed the PLA 100 and 200 courses and mentors in them to this day. And our student panelists, Joel Heller and Jerry Cardenas, join us as well. Joel has already had a background with us, earning his BSBA with us previously. He went on to work on his MSM, which he's just about ready to complete. He'll be graduating this year with that, so congratulations, Joel. Joel has a rich background in municipal finance and municipal bonds. Our second student panelist, Jerry Cardenas, comes to us having received his undergraduate degree at Rutgers in poli sci. He has a rich background in both public and private industry, working with the government in roles with the Philadelphia Police and the Navy. Working on the private side, he's worked at Lockheed Martin and also as a business consultant. Jerry has a special interest for fallen vets and is looking at ways to incorporate that in his public service study. If we could now turn our attention to Christine, she'll hit it off with us.
Okay, great. I just picked up on the notion of college level learning. I think this whole process starts with asking yourself lots of questions about learning. And you may have to eradicate some of your erroneous assumptions about what learning is. Kind of depends on who your guru is for learning. If you're looking at someone like Bandura, you might be thinking about learning as watching other people, imitating, modeling types of learning. If you have been in college for any length of time, you've probably heard a lot about Bloom's taxonomy. And it's kind of our gold standard for PLA in the sense that Bloom's taxonomy helps you to figure out if you really have learned something, if you're steeped in it, if you really know your stuff. And that's kind of what we're talking about today. Genuinely and thoroughly knowing your stuff so well that you can articulate it, that you can write about it. And Bloom's taxonomy, the revised version, has 6 levels. The first level is just recalling information. I remember the Pledge of Allegiance as a kid. I remember lyrics from songs that I can't even believe I remember from, you know, however many years ago. It doesn't really mean I understand it. I could give you the philosophy of the people who sang or composed it. It just means that I can basically recall. If you go all the way to the end of Bloom's taxonomy, he talks about analysis, evaluating, applying. These are the types of learning categories that we're talking about that separate your learning that might have depth from someone else who has a more, just a very concrete understanding of their area. So if you're in grad school right now, and you're pursuing a degree, you've come through a program already where you've done some thinking and some learning, but now in grad school, you're going deeper yet, deeper and deeper. How are you going deeper? You're probably going deeper into research. You're probably going more deeply into integrating your experience with philosophy and thoughts of others. You may have gone more deeply into a problem or a solution type of scenario in your degree. You may be thinking about some of your civic responsibilities. I know the gentlemen that are here today, a lot of what they had to do with working on their PLA program was kind of civically minded and giving back to society. In your program right now, you're probably also realizing that there's a lot of jargon and language in your particular field, and you're learning about that language and what that language means and how to actually apply it. So this is different from your undergrad, where you're kind of acclimating to a field. now you're really becoming kind of an expert in that. So you're asking yourself questions, is PLA right for me? Am I steeped in my field? You know, do I know so much that the experience and philosophy kind of meld together? What about my coursework? Does my coursework and my knowledge base line up? Are there courses that I could use my knowledge to kind of tick that off, you know, versus sit in a classroom or take a test? Can I write about what I know? Can I prove that I know what I know? I might tell you, well, I know such and such. Can I prove it? You know, do I have what we call artifacts? Do I have stuff? You know, do I have, you know, letters and reference letters and awards and different things to maybe demonstrate that others know that I know? Can I explain things in depth? If I can't, I may not want to consider this, because you really need to be able to explain that you know what you know. And that's pretty important. We'll probably talk about that a little bit later. Some of the gentlemen probably will get into, you know, the challenges of that. Then you need to be tooled. So there are tools to work with prior learning assessment and being able to write a narrative about your experience. You need to be motivated. If you don't like to write, you're not going to want to do this, because you'll be sitting and you will be writing and you'll be brainstorming and you'll be thinking and you'll be collecting. So you do have to have the motivation to sustain you. You also have to have writing tools. You need to be a decent writer. You know, you need to be able to put down your thoughts in a way that others understand what you're trying to convey. You might want to have familial support or people around you who can keep it quiet for you, send the kids away, or, you know, just give you space so that you can create. So think about your tooling. That's something you need to ask yourself. Do I have the tools to pull this off? And then I guess finally, just, you need to really think about the difference between your undergrad and your graduate experience. And in your mind, you need to have kind of come to this place where at the graduate level, you're ready to apply and get very serious about the knowledge you're grappling with, because now it's life stuff and it's not just textbooks. It's really getting out there and saying, wow, I see this problem and I want to be part of this and I want to solve this, or I want to grapple with this or go more deeply. So this is not for the faint of heart. This is for those of you, you know, who are excited about your learning, and so much so that you're really excited to see it on paper. And you just can't wait to see this unravel and kind of see your story on paper. And I know when I've worked with students, they're first full of fear and trepidation about this, but then they get so excited. They're like, wow, I really do know my stuff. Look at this, look what I wrote. And I hope that's your case as well. So thank you.
And I think, you know, that's a big part of it. You could give us maybe, you know, a little intro to how you utilize this and what you feel the outcome was. And then we can move on and Joel can share his experience as well.
First of all, thank you so much for having me. I'm honored to be here. Hi, Dr. Willard. Good to speak with you again. The two of you were both lifesavers during that entire process, because initially it was a little difficult. Because I think Dr. Willard described it well. You know, initially you're going through this process and trying to figure out, what have I done? You know, and granted, I've got classes that I've taken, whether it's in a private industry or in my case, in the military. But, you know, other things transpired as well. And throughout your career, what I found was, well, I was applying different elements of the things I had learned, but having to find new ways to adapt them. And clearly, you know, it was this process of looking back became something of a journey of trying to understand what of those things I initially learned, how did I really apply them, and how do I how is it that I think I know them so well? And then exploring all of that, and certainly Bloom's taxonomy, Klob's learning styles, and all of those things really came together. At one point, it was just a big, you know, soupy mess, but then it starts to become clearer. Certainly, your and Dr. Willard's work to help define that with that rubric really set kind of the guardrails and clarified the path. It almost like illuminated it. You couldn't clear out the clutter that was there from years of me going through whatever I'd gone through, but you illuminated the path of, no, this is what we're looking for to understand, is that learning really applicable here? And then, you know, realizing that through that process, yes, I had done those things. In my case, it was two courses, leadership, the initial leadership course for the Watson School program I was in, and human resources. Turns out I had both of those very early in my career, having joined the Navy, just coming out of high school. First was basic leadership, and then a little more advanced leadership as I became a non-commissioned officer in the Navy. And then specialty being in personnel administration. But, you know, a lot happened between that point and 30 years later when I tried to do this. And trying to piece those things together, really, I don't think I could have done it anywhere else. Rutgers grad, as you pointed out, and I love Rutgers, great school. But I don't think they had then, nor do they have now, the tools to do something like this and say, okay, let me go back and take a look and see if the inventory of things I've been relying on for the last 30 years and adding to really amount to anything in particular. And so that was kind of the process that I went through, you know, taking that inventory, applying the, you know, Bloom's taxonomy, et cetera, the things that you learn as you go through these as part of your PLA assessment structure. And then with your help and Dr. Willard's help, you know, getting that rubric and that path lit up to help take you to, well, did you learn this? Did you understand not just sitting in a class and learning a concept, but did you then synthesize that into learning at various times and apply that learning in a way that it meant something, not just, oh, I said the word in a meeting. It was, no, I did something that applied that concept. And what I found was that both in leadership events and in the human resource side, even though I did not make a career out of human resources, I did in the various positions I was in create organizations that I was relying on those concepts, and also adding additional private industry courses or courses I took outside, but not necessarily in college, and taking those concepts and reapplying them. And it becomes almost like this maze that you go through, but that once you start connecting the dots that you can't see until you go through something like this, you realize, okay, I see now how I was able to pull it together. And yes, I do know this concept, or yes, I do know that principle.
Yeah, and I think, you know, Jerry, you and I had a conversation and you said, wow, the process was illuminating. And that was kind of exciting to me, because learning is supposed to be illuminating, right? And this was like a whole nother layer.
Well, and I'm leaving out all kinds of things, but there was an opportunity in the military that I had to do intensive study of different types of personalities and situations. And in doing that, you know, you go through these things so quickly, they're so intense, and then you pack it away and, you know, you got the learning objectives, you got the certificates, but you didn't quite, you know, it's like, okay, well, how will I apply this? And you then apply it later in life. And that's where, you know, I didn't stop to think about it, but yes, as you point out, you know, it was illuminated, like, oh, these things that I'm now reading about in, you know, go to Amazon's, you know, book list on leadership stuff. I'm like, okay, I think I've picked up 9 of these thought leaders servant leadership, other types of things like that. I've been picking these things up for years. Small little nuggets were dropped around and given to me and this coursework and other things, and I would apply them, but I didn't fully appreciate the depth and breadth of it. And that's where the illumination, and I couldn't have gotten there without the rubric. I will say that, because there were some times when, before you and I spoke, where I felt like, I'm just, a hamster on a wheel here. Where am I going with this? But it was really, have you figured this part out of your learning out? And it was, it was quite illuminating, very much so.
Well, and also for all of y'all listening in, Jerry has decided that he can't have enough of our institution now in the DBA program, and I'm so proud of him. So, our learners just keep learning. It's very exciting. But yeah, thank you for your insight. And having used Joel, having used Jerry as a guinea pig to help develop our rubric, at my next turn that I could, when I was speaking with Joel, I kind of thought, this is yet another student I think that we can use PLA very successfully. So, it's one big, tripping down the lane sort of experience for many of us. Joel, do you want to tell us a little bit about your experience and the courses that you used for PLA and how that all worked for you?
I'm happy to. Thank you very much. I'm happy to be asked to join this conversation. It's nice to meet Dr. Willard, Dr. Oliver. And I are on speed dial, so, quite so formal with her, I suppose. My experience with PLA was somewhat different, I think, than Jerry's, in that I relied very much on the rubrics and the course descriptions. And I looked at the components to my degree program that could potentially be prior learning assessments for me to complete. And echoing Jerry's sort of, you just go round and round and you're like, what are your guardrails? For the pieces that I did, those aspects had been worked out pretty well. So I had very good guidance going in each of mine. Now, mind you, I did four, but it created for me an opportunity not only to re-immerse myself in things that I had learned years ago, decades ago, but have used every day and then just, forgot that was like a thing. But it also served as a reinforcement to me that the information that I had and the experience that I applied was relevant in a broader sense than just the little postage stamp of the world that I operate in. So those were two of my most compelling experiences with the learning assessment process.
I hear. Let me ask both of you a question, Joel and Jerry. You both are standing in a position of success with the PLA. You thought about it, you've seen it, you've done it, and now you're on the other side. But when you first thought about doing PLA or saw the opportunity, did you have any apprehensions? And then how did you work through those apprehensions? I know Dr. Willard was there to support you. And then Anne, you said you got Anne on speed dial. But I think for a lot of people, even before they get there, there's things that run through your head, right? Because I want to leave it there. Leave the question there. So,
Barry, you want to go first this time again?
You can certainly go right ahead.
Well, Jerry, I'm going to seize on one of the things that you said, and that was that the structure and the guidance of it. And clearly that was what made it doable. But when you start taking a look at, as a student, a degree program and trying to take into account where your experience best fits, and then you break that down again into looking at course descriptions in various aspects, and these aspects get very specific at that point. You know, you're looking at in a master's program, you're not looking at general broad concepts, you're drilling down into much more specific concepts. And so when you have to sit back and, you know, self-analyze and say, what do I know enough about to spend the time here and expend the effort here and not feel foolish because I think I know everything? That is a big part of the process before you even start the process. Then you get to the course objectives, and that hones you in, and the rubric, and that hones you in. But we, others so far, have spent a lot of time on the Bloom's taxonomy. And I remember the first time I was presented with that. It was the very beginning of my first PLA. And the question presented was, how do I view Bloom's taxonomy? And now famously, because I've done a couple of these, I used the same essay on Bloom's taxonomy a few times. I used an aspect of auto mechanics as being my best then example of experiential learning and mastery of a topic and ability to process and analyze. And I used hydraulic brakes. Hydraulic brakes, I totally understand. I can talk all day long. I can talk all day long on a lot of things, but hydraulic brakes, I totally understand. Carburetors, not so much. I've been playing with carburetors since I was a teenager. I'm obviously not a teenager anymore. And for all that same time, I've been playing with hydraulic brakes. Ask me anything you want to know about hydraulic brakes. I got it. Ask me about carburetors. I'm going to refer you to Jerry. I don't master that. I don't own it. I can't analyze it. I have basic understanding. And, you know, frankly, it wasn't until this conversation that I realized how different the ownership, the command of that information is between being, I hope I'm using acceptable terminology, but being an undergrad student learning a concept in the first place and being a graduate student trying to demonstrate mastery of a topic by way of a prior learning assessment. And now I really understand, it took till today, but now I really understand what was the nature of that question and how it relates.
I will say this, Joel, you become another one of my heroes because you've done four. And when I went into this, I actually look back and say, so how did I, you know, as Dr. Oliver put it, how did I work my way through thinking, okay, is this a possibility, et cetera? Quite frankly, it was not something that initially grabbed me when I looked at Thomas Edison. But I came to find out about it once I got into the application process and I'd looked at other schools, all of the ones in the Philadelphia, Jersey area, and had conversations with different people about them. What grabbed me the most about Thomas Edison first was conversations I had with Assistant Dean Prime Monahan and Chris Schultz. And they pointed out something to me, and that was the thing that got me going, both to go back to grad school and then to say, okay, if I went that far, why shouldn't I consider going the rest of the way and look at PLAs? And that is, they pointed out, and Joel, maybe, you know, this it sounds like your situation in a variety of areas. They looked at my resume and they said, you know, you've done a huge number of things, but, you know, you don't have the credentialing that supports it. You know, what is your problem, you know, as you look at your career growth, et cetera? And I said, I think, you know, I'm, you know, there's some kind of a, you know, ceiling that I've hit. And they're, you know, they point out, well, one thing we can see is you don't have the credentialing. You're doing lots of things. You know, you're organizing teams and launching ventures and all these other things and really substantive work, but you don't have the credentialing. And so, you know, I took that as a statement of, you know, validation. You know, I my background has not been validated objectively by others who know more than I about whether or not I really do know something. And so, you know, that statement, I thought, okay, they're right. Let's go forward. Me just keep reading books and teaching myself, maybe I go through some more formal education and learn those things that I think I need. And I had some very specific things in mind that I wanted to do, launch another new type of venture that I've never been involved with before, nonprofit. And no other school really had the approach that Thomas Edison had through the Watson School to look at that area. And I said, okay, here's an opportunity for me, again, to take things I've done in the past and combine them together, but can I accelerate that? And if I try to accelerate it, what is the best way of doing that? And it came back to me, this thought of, well, you know, has my prior experience been validated? And I started reading about the PLA concept and approached the assistant dean and said, you know, hey, is this really true? And I actually think I had a conversation with someone else before her. And they kind of politely said, well, you know, it's really for undergraduates and on and on. And I was like, well, I don't know. It's in the student handbook. You know, if they're looking at my resume and saying, you know, go forward, then why don't we do this other and look at and have a conversation about it? And I did. And then again, Joel, to your credit, you articulated it much better than I. But, you know, it was to go and look at the course descriptions mm-hmm. against the requirements for the degree and start going through. And as I did, you know, I picked out a couple that I thought, okay, I've done a lot of these things, you know, and started putting check marks down through the learning objectives of those courses. And I thought, well, that's me self-validating. I'm not sure that someone who's an expert in this field would agree. But I think I'd like to know. So to your question, Dr. Oliver, you know, I almost wanted to self-validate because part of the process of doing that was I walked away from doing two others, not because I thought I hadn't done enough in those areas, but because in looking at the learning objectives, I realized, well, I may have done a lot of work, for example, in project mm-hmm. management, but I think I'd like to update those skills. So those skills that were good and the learning I had before, yeah, that was fine before, but maybe I want to get revalidated in a new way and take those courses. But for these other areas, I think I can validate through this. And I thought, let's just jump in and see how it goes. And so at the end,
if I can add something.
Yeah, sure.
Interrupt and add something to what you're saying. The self-validation piece is a big piece.
Yeah.
And as you were talking, I wrote down and then crossed out the words for undergraduates, that this is less applicable to the undergraduate level learning. But I crossed that out, but I was listening very closely. You used the term self-validate, and that was a big piece of it for me. as far as not only undertaking these things, but also to help with my own propulsion. I mean, you know, as adult learners, the biggest problem we have is dedicating the time, the mental energy, and the mental bandwidth to be able to do this and stick to it. And I did find that the prior learning assessment was, for me, a very important tool for reminding myself that this is not an empty exercise. I bring this much to this process already. The credentialing and the validation, you know, you go out into the job market and you look at job descriptions that call for a master's, or MBA, and you say, yeah, but I can do this.
Yes, exactly, yeah.
And the opportunity to not just sit through a class in a traditional environment with possibly a bunch of people who've never had a job before versus being able to go to a situation like Edison creates and say, this is what I've done, this is what I know, and here's how useful and valuable it is. You tell me what the hurdle is I have to cover. And you know, this isn't a unilateral process. This is negotiated with your mentor, certainly in my case, also with Anne. Thank you. She spent fantastic amounts of time with me selecting the courses that I could say, I know enough to do this. And that validation, I think for you know, students at our age and stage of life is very important. I'm not starting over. I'm not, you know, stepping back. This gives you an opportunity to step forward and you know, show what you can do and lead something as opposed to be one of a group followers learning a topic in a more traditional setting. Those are my biggest takeaways.
And Joel, just keep this in mind. A lot of the work that I've done, especially on the government side, although you private industry relies on this too. We, you know, there are all kinds of things that are going on in government that are based on bonds, municipal bonds, other types of government bonds. There are numerous projects that could not be done. And then we're going through a process now and, you know, in our country where we're going to be doing quite a bit of other work, infrastructure, et cetera. I will tell you, as the guy who was looking for that fuel to help push these projects on and create things like a real-time crime center in Philadelphia or to automate the New Jersey court system to the next level or whatever that next thing was. I've worked on a lot of different things, including been involved with things like how do we make the electric grid smarter. All of those things were made possible by people like you because we're back and you know doing our work, coming up with the project work and trying to figure out how to do all that. And I can tell you numerous times there were discussions of, well, how are we going to pay for this? Well, that's a room of a whole bunch of other really smart people who we don't, you know, we just leave them, just get out of the way.
They're give
really
you some smart. Phone numbers.
And so, you know, we're all assuming that you're, you know, finance gods and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, and have all the credentialing in the world, et cetera. And so it's great to meet one of you. You know, we met in Atlantic City, 2 years ago, I think, right?
Yes,
briefly.
Right.
Yes. And never got a chance to speak. And so we're having that conversation now. But it's good to know, yes, because that person and types of people we're relying on have that kind of confidence and have that kind of, well, you have the confidence because you have the knowledge. You gain the knowledge through a variety of means. And so without that, without your ability to go
Barry,
forward.
I'm going to interrupt you there again. I want you to remember right where you were. And you just used the word confidence. And the confidence, you know, at my phase 2 years ago, when I thought about, you know, getting back into the job market, I've been self-employed for most of the last 8 years. You know, I looked at jobs that I thought might be interesting positions with government, not-for-profits, with, you know, back in the financial markets and things like that, that I thought would be interesting. There's this fantastic chasm of confidence when your academic credentials, you know, mine was my undergrad that I earned decades ago, versus what I was able to, you know, bring to the table and say, here's what I know. But this is like almost what you wish you could tell somebody on a job interview. It's like, yeah, okay, maybe I've formally earned my bachelor's, but here's my basket of stuff. Boom. And it shakes the table.
I want to point out that how timely all of this is in today's culture and society, I believe. Because I think Thomas Edison, just as they've been on the cusp of a lot of things with remote learning, et cetera, you know, leading the pack long ago, here again is another one, because, you know, you have movements like Mika Brzezinski's Know Your Value, right? Which is really about women coming to know and understanding and appreciating their value to organizations. And I think it is absolutely overdue, long overdue. But that same concept, I think, also applies to folks like you and I who have been through the mill, so to speak, of, you know, working in organizations and putting our, you know, everything that we've done. And also then sitting back and saying, well, did we, you know, as part of that validation process, it's us understanding our value, right? In terms of the knowledge and experience and how we applied it all. And so, you know, I see this as part and parcel of that same overall notion of, you know, everyone has something to contribute, and finding the way to get that contribution made. Today, a lot of employers, you can't even get past the resume submission phase unless your resume has certain criteria in it, right? The you know, because it's, unfortunately, I will say, yeah, because me and my colleagues automated that process and said, no, we're going to read through that without a human, and if you don't have this stuff in there, we're not letting you're not going to make it to the next phase to have that discussion that you were describing with the employer, where you can say, well, you know, here's what I bring to the table, you know, and I regret that those things have happened, but they're there, can't do anything about it, and so it's up to us to adapt and find a way to then dig deep inside with the help of people like Dr. Willard, Dr. Oliver, Prime Monahan, and say, okay, well, how do I get that credential? How do I get that recognized? And where it's not appropriate, how do I then go back in and get myself retooled to a better point? So, you know, well done, I will say. Four of them. I originally went in talking about doing four. I didn't get to the four, but I did make it out. And as you pointed out, I'm into this next level of funding and learning. So,
well, my hat is up to you, whether you did one or four. It's hard. It's not easy. You gotta shake yourself upside down and empty your brain and your pockets and everything.
Yeah.
Do it. Yeah.
So let me ask you this: as an institution, Thomas Edison State University, when we first started out, we were degree completion, right? And we were looking at ways of assisting undergraduates to validate college level learning that hadn't taken place in a college arena. So we were doing testing and we were doing PLAs. And then we grew and we, you know, now we offer courses and we offer graduate programs and we have all these fabulous opportunities for folks to be credentialed. And Jerry, I had a laugh a little inside when you said formal education, because we formalized the college level learning that you had through experiential learning, because it was there, right? So call. And now that we look at graduate programs, we've discussed how this is not inauthentic to say that graduate level learning can happen outside of the classroom. And if we can assess it, and if we're willing to assess it as an institution, how can we go forward and do that? And one of the ways that we're looking to do it is through PLA. So given those parameters, real brief, if each of you could just kind of say to the students out there, hey, you're worried about this, but it is doable. What are one or two of the things that you think a graduate student might be hesitant about in terms of engaging in the PLA process?
I think one of the hardest decisions when thinking about going back to school is I am going to spend a lot of time that I don't have to pretend I'm learning stuff that I already know. And that is scary from a couple of perspectives. One, you're going to spend a lot of time and you're going to spend a lot of money to go back over information and process and synthesis that you've done already. And then you have the idea placed in front of you that you can, you know, do a prior learning assessment. And that is a completely different exercise. It is a deep dive into your own brain. And you have to create a formal paper that conforms to all of the requirements and is dictated by Jerry's words, the guideposts of the course. So now you're looking at the opportunity to either dedicate yourself to absorbing information that you feel like you already know and maybe the reason that you haven't gone back to graduate school in the first place, because you're just going to do a lot of stuff that doesn't seem interesting because you already feel like you know it. And it's going to take a lot of time and you're going to lose momentum. On the other hand, when you come to the opportunity to demonstrate a prior learning experience or prior learning series of experiences. I mean, I did four of these and there's no one place any of it came from. But when you get the opportunity to propel and discuss and enunciate and engage with someone and say, yes, I know this and I can apply it and I can talk to you about it and I can show you that. It's a completely different experience than taking the class. And I think something that's very important for, you know, anyone who's considering certainly this university and secondly, this program, this is a whole different thing than most likely anyone else has shown you. And it will change the way you look at the other coursework that you do.
So it's a dynamic interchange.
Well, and I'll believe it or not, I'll actually make that point very quickly. That there are things that you know that you can speak to in volumes. And then you get to a class where you go, oh, yeah, I don't know that stuff as well. And it makes the learning process on the other side that much more valuable. We'll just do it.
So Jerry, what do you think? Why are people scared to do PLA, or maybe they just don't know about it, and how would you encourage them?
Well, you know, along with the help that I had and from you and Chris and helping me understand, you know, how to come back in to go to school, you know, I you gave me some great advice. You said go look at the course objectives, and if you start going through those course objectives and you feel like you know something about them, then, you know, do a little more digging and ask yourself how much you think you know. And if you really think you can do that, then you know, then maybe it is good to proceed. And that was really became kind of the point where I said, okay, I literally printed out the course objectives, started checking them off. And after the second discussion, it was okay, go write a little something in the margins about why I thought I knew something. about that. I will also say that, you know, as I look back, I know, and, you know, maybe Joel would agree with this, but there are so many people like me that went through similar types of both learning and experience, mm-hmm. right? There are millions and millions of veterans out there. They got the same basic introductory courses to leadership, et cetera, and whatever other specialty they may have jumped into. Many of them, although not all, took that and evolved it into something else. And they continued to grow their careers in different ways. And so it can't be that, you know, I somehow magically put all that together. No, I didn't, not by myself. I had a lot of great help. But, you know, what convinced me was, well, that comment that you two made to me about, well, you've done the work. You don't have the formal credentialing to validate your knowledge and experience. And I said, okay, then maybe I should just go forward with it. I will tell you, I'm so glad I did, because as Joel's describing, it was this, and you described earlier, it was this incredibly illuminating experience that it just helped realize things that I had been taking for granted and have since gone back to explore even more. I had two great mentors, Dr. Toki and Dr. Ives, who would also, you know, give that nudge, you know, always polite, always, you know, in a positive light, but would give that nudge and say, well, are you really thinking that through? You know, could you think that through a little more? You know, what, and ask those deeper questions. And it was like, okay, where did I get that concept from? And then I would go back and have to dig up the okay, I see. In fact, I went so far back as to find out how did the military come up with its leadership training courses, finding out that it was part of, you know, people like Simon and other people's research. And so what I would say is, you know, having waited as long as I did to go back to school, one of my clients was a company called Nike, and they had this concept, and I had heard it before and seen it on TV, but when I got to their headquarters for some meetings, I saw what they meant by just do it. What are you waiting for? You know, is my basic philosophy about this. What are you waiting for? You're not getting any younger. You put in your time, you've done all of these other things. Maybe not every PLA will work out. Maybe you'll start some and think, you know, back out, I need to go get revalidated, but you won't know until you go through that process. And in most cases, you know, if you really have gone through and lived that career or that job or whatever it is and mastered that topic, then you probably will make it through. And so what I would say to all of them is, you know, don't be afraid of this. Don't be afraid of the terminology here. In fact, be interested in that terminology, because that terminology has application in so many other things. When you understand Bloom's taxonomy, and not that I understand it in any great way, but when you understand those concepts, that then help you apply those back in your learning environment to be a better mentor, a better steward of whatever organization you're working with, as well as to your family, because, you know, you can step back and say, okay, so they're at the beginning of that process. I'm thinking they're at the end. I should stop making assumptions about what everyone knows when I walk into the room, and you know, it just really causes you to take a step back. So I would say there's nothing to fear here. There really is nothing except the words, the language. And Joel's right. It is going to be a lot of money. It is going to be a lot of time, but I would also frame it from a different perspective. If for people like Joel and I, these really are our prime earning years, right? Where we're supposed to be making more money than we ever have before, blah, 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 as we prepare to retire. And the only thing holding us back from making that much more is the credentialing. Then we're holding ourselves back by not doing it. And therefore, the whatever investment we make in that last part, a $3,000-$4,000 class, relative to, well, get that credentialing done, you know, and you'll be able to then earn another 15, 20, 30% in those final years you're working. They will pay off in ways that you cannot imagine. So I amortize it and look at it as it's a small investment. It's a big cost when you're doing it, but it's a small investment, including the time that you're taking away, time we don't have. Yet I sit back and say, well, if I wasn't spending that time on this, what would I be spending it on? Watching reruns of Seinfeld? As much as I love them, I guess I could do without watching reruns of Seinfeld, you know, or whatever the case is, and instead pick up a few new concepts and, you know, or better yet, refresh my memory about what those things were and are to me and how to apply them. So I would say to everyone, what are you waiting for? Just do it.
So, Dr. Willard, if there is something you wanted to add before we wrap up, I hope that you are that you acknowledge that you are part of a thought revolution, that we're bringing graduate PLA to town in a way that is viable and alive. Any closing thoughts before I wrap this up?
Yeah, I would reiterate what my colleagues have said here. There's a notion of backward design, and that's the idea of think about what you want at the end and then start planning from the end. After talking to students doing PLA, it's one of the most exciting things they'll tell you they've done in their lives, because it that word validate comes out again. They look at their final product and it's so exciting for them to see themselves on paper, and all the fear, all the trepidation, all of the initial things, that's gone. It's kind of like having giving birth to your kid. You know, it's like you forget those birth pangs and you have this beautiful, you know, baby you produced. And that's what people feel like with the PLA, even more so than going through a class, because it was all that blood, sweat, and tears. So, you know, don't worry about, do a task analysis, break it down into small pieces. Don't get overwhelmed by it. Get help. There are so many ways to get help. When I did my dissertation, I got all sorts of help with number crunching. You know, I found all these tutors online. There's so many things at your disposal. There's no reason to say, oh, I can't write, or I can't do this, or da 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 da. You could probably find an asset or a help for everything you say you can't do. There's a support out there. So as everyone mentioned, it's just a very worthwhile pursuit for really anybody who has that knowledge base but has not been able to express it in those appropriate ways. This is wonderful.
And I, you know, I have to say, I've been working with adult learners since there were dinosaurs on the ground. And our students come to us, and I'm going to generalize here, not knowing how powerful learners they already are. Mm-hmm. And PLA gives the opportunity to validate that. And it is powerful for me too, because just hearing the both of you speak today pulls at my heartstrings.
The thing I would like to really impress upon people who even consider prior learning assessment is, if you really, really know your stuff, this is not painful.
Yeah.
This is invigorating. You get to, I mean, how often do you get to just say everything you know on a topic and not have anybody look at their watch? No, they actually want to hear everything you have to say on a topic. And most people don't have that many topics they can speak on to that degree with that level of expertise and get something for it. Get something for it.
Well, I really do appreciate each and every one of you all here today. And I hope that we can inspire other students to engage in the PLA process at the graduate level. And once again, thank you all for your time. I appreciate it. And I'm sure we'll tap into your resources and knowledge for yet another affair down the road. But until then, stay healthy, stay safe.